One of us has something in common with Shannon Sharp.
And there's one event. I want every high school parent who is delusional enough to think their kid has a shot to make it to the NBA.
It's the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
Who's Boosh?
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
All right, is the music going to play over it when we do the promo?
No.
Okay, three. Oh, okay, sorry.
All right, welcome to the Emerging. Ready to emerging. Go, and take your drink, and promo time.
What one of us have in common with Shannon Sharp?
And there's an event I want every high school parent who thinks their kid has a shot at the NBA to attend.
It's the Emerging Podcast Scene on the I messed it up. It's the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra and on the free Odyssey app. Is that our new thing? We're going to do the promo?
It's going to be okay, except for you went, it's the Emerging.
Well, you're going to have to edit it. You have to edit it.
You got to do it clean. I can't just well,
we
got it.
Wait a minute. We got to hit our marks.
Oz in there.
All right.
But wait, we're
let's do it
going,
again.
We're
three,
going,
two,
do it. Two,
we're going live.
Three, two. Well, we're live. R.I.P. Sid Vicious. Three, two, one. What one of us actually has in common with Shannon Sharp?
And there's an event I want every high school parent who thinks their kid has a shot to go to the NBA one day. I want them to attend this event.
It's the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
We got to redo it.
I screwed
Not
it up.
Not only did you Anthony screw it up, but he chuckled the whole time when we were doing the one thing that we needed to clean.
Let's two. Go.
Get your
one.
Drink and let's go.
What one of us has in common with Shannon Sharp?
And the one event I want every high school parent who's delusional enough to think their kid has a shot to make the NBA.
It's the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
Now, if you're okay with Lima's chip smack in the middle of that.
That's it. That's good.
And you're laughing.
I'm not because I don't complete the thought.
Print it, okay. Ship it.
It's not good because I didn't complete the thought at the end.
We got to do one more.
I said if there's one event, but then I don't complete the thought. If there's one event.
Fine.
Here we go.
Last time.
Here we go. Mark it.
Three, two, one. What one of us has something in common with John Wayne? Doggone it. Three, two, one. One of us has something in common with Shannon Sharp.
And there's one event. I want every high school parent who is delusional enough to think their kid has a shot to make it to the NBA.
It's the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
Emerging Cut Podcast it. Scene, what's up?
Cut it, print it, let's go. That only took 3 minutes.
There is a documentary about the Sopranos.
Okay. And I've watched the first 40 minutes of it.
Is it good?
I'll be honest, the first 20 minutes put me asleep.
Oh.
Because they did a very, very specific concept, a very specific theme, and I don't want to spoil it, that artistically they made a decision about with David Chase and how they were going to introduce the documentary. Ooh.
Okay. That's interesting.
I thought.
Oh, I know what it is. I know what it's about. Yeah. Okay, I'm not going to give it away because I've heard an interview with David Chase about those interviews.
Oh, okay.
So I know what it's about. So you, is there video of you out there somewhere then?
No.
If we have something in common, well, yeah, not you
There's
and
no
me,
chance.
But you.
Okay. There's no chances video.
Okay. Just wondering because you don't want to be embarrassed or anything like that.
I had, speaking of the Shannon Sharp thing, which I guess live streamed, you didn't see anything. You could only hear.
Yeah.
You saw the floor, I believe.
Yeah,
right?
You saw the floor. I had a buddy in college show me a video of him and a female he had met in like the month before this. He had met her over the summer in some program, and then he filmed a video with her.
Okay.
And it was consensual. She also had a copy of the video, and she also told him he could show the video to his best friends. And I watched the video. And that was the first time I had done anything like that. And I could not get over the weirdness of seeing a friend in heat. I couldn't get over it.
Yeah,
just took me out of it. And he walked out of the room. Like, it wasn't one of those where he's like, we'll watch this together.
Oh,
that's weird.
Man, that would be weird.
That's weird. And so then it became a thing with my friends, like, oh, well, we all have to try to chronicle this.
There was one time, a long time ago, this has nothing to do with tape. You spoke about a friend in heat. There was one time, a long time ago, it was high school, actually. That was a very long time ago. A friend of mine, and I'm not going to name his name, and another friend of ours, and I'm not going to name her name. And she thought it might be a good idea. You understand what I'm saying there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we could not even really get into the subject after that conversation. It was a very quick conversation because of that. I don't want to see you in that avenue.
Yeah, I can totally.
And he felt the same way. So it was something. It was something. I've told that story on the air before, but that was the night show.
Okay,
this is the podcast.
This is we're probably not talking to, especially if you're on this podcast. We wouldn't do this on the show. That's a different audience.
Can someone get my hoodie? Will you get my hoodie? Yeah, I am freezing.
Okay,
I'll get up and get it myself.
I have thought that everybody should at some point.
What?
Should get out of their, expand their horizons, get out of their bubble, and everybody should attempt to experience things to know
multiple partners?
To know if they truly like it. No, like, I'll say, for instance, to be an exhibitionist, right? We all grow up, and everything's taboo when you're growing up, if you're raised a certain way, especially under the church like I was. This was verboten. This is not something to talk about.
No.
And then, you know, you get into high school and that's all you talk about with all your friends because, you know, your formative years, you're maturing, you're evolving, but all day you're in school and you're locked up with a bunch of members of the opposite sex, at least for us. That was what we were into.
True.
And eventually, until you have access, you don't know where your horizons are. You don't know what you truly like until you figure it out. And so I would always encourage people when they are of age and everything and they are of a maturity level to be able to comprehend the decisions they're making to, you know, try stuff out. Let's see if it's something you might be into. And exhibitionism is certainly one of those things.
I don't know if exhibitionism is really one of those things. I mean, that could be offensive. Can it not be?
What do you mean?
Like, you can't just go in a parking garage do those sort of things. That's what I think of when I think of exhibitionism.
Yeah, I had that with a few.
But if you were talking about...
I had that with a few.
Well, yeah, I mean...
if you're in a trench coat and going, hey, look at this.
No, wait a second.
Like, that's
exhibitionism.
I shouldn't say it like
that's
that.
That's also the same as... Yeah. You're out at the lake and no one's around and you jump in. That's the same exhibition.
Oh, like skinny dipping.
Well, are you talking about with a female?
Yeah. Well,
or with a partner. It doesn't matter. Whatever you want to do.
My situation was a female.
Anyone. Yeah.
You could do a helicopter and maybe nobody wants to see that.
No, like, I don't think anybody should go to the parks and go do something like that. But people do. And they like that sort of thing. Well, I don't know, man.
For me,
I know couples do.
For me, it was always the partner that was the one that was more interested. It wasn't me talking them into it. There is a power dynamic there that I think you got to understand.
So you didn't initiate.
No,
you were down to clown.
But no, I didn't know I was. That was the thing. Okay. I did not know that I was going to be interested at all. Like, if you would have told me at a certain age that I would have been into that, I would have been like, absolutely not. But it's a little different when the person sending the message is someone you're into.
Oh, tastes change. It's the same thing as at one point I didn't like eggs in my life.
Yep.
Now I like eggs.
Yep. Every 7 years we get new.
Yeah, things change. You get more adventurous. I think there's things that I'm probably never going to really be into, but who knows? Who really knows? So, I don't judge like that. I don't want anybody to force their. And hey, man, it's his Instagram live. You want to follow him on whatever, fine. I don't think you should.
This will not hurt him in any way, shape, or form, Shannon.
But if someone's uncomfortable with your tastes, like if you were if Liz and I did something and you were at, and I talked about it all the time and you were uncomfortable with it, I'd stop talking about it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's what I mean by that.
Yeah, you should not inundate your friends.
Yes, or inundate is the word.
Certainly your family on any of this stuff.
Yeah. So That was an awkward thing to see yesterday. You didn't see anything. You just heard
it. So I was one of those. I was not online all day. And then when I think it was Mitch or you sent the video, and it was just sound.
I was watching the Guardians, and someone tweeted at me. It's like, I'm going to need a comment on the Shannon Sharp thing. And I go, what? And I looked at it. I go, but getting it in. Look at you
but
guys.
But think about this.
Having fun.
Again, in the past, this would be it for your career. This would be over. Your media career would be over. And you would be treated
just
with a scar.
Pam Anderson and Tommy Lee.
Well, right, but then there you go. There you go. I mean, there were always individual cases.
Yeah, they were never on Inside Edition again after that.
there were always individual cases. Obviously, we have a Kardashian family unit that has all had enormous success, and you could trace the roots of that to one video.
Ray J helped them out. Yeah.
How did Ray J do after all of that?
He came out with Raycom headphones, which are doing splendid in the market.
Yeah, they are.
You know,
is he like a multimillionaire?
Of course.
Okay.
He's got that Moesha money.
Yeah, doing well. No. Doing well.
He's not a billionaire, though.
Nothing against him.
I have stated more facts about Ray J than I know I knew.
But that's at a place you can go find it if you want to go find it.
Right.
And so that's what I'm saying. If you know, if you want to go find that sort of thing, then go
find
that sort of thing.
Did Jeffrey Toobin recover?
I cannot believe that happened. That's something I can't believe.
I don't understand how it happened. It makes zero sense to me.
I think that's a situation where a person might need a little to seek some help. Honestly, that's in a weird, very weird, very ugly territory there. Anywho, you know, good for Stephen Sharp. Good for Shannon Sharp and his partner, and hopefully they are very happy. And hopefully they have a good laugh about this someday, because I didn't think it was. I only heard noises, and what I found, you know, I didn't find to be tasteless or offensive. It was a mistake.
Shannon Sharp's single, right? Like, he's not married, is he?
I think he's like.
Or is it an open relationship?
No, he's not married.
Okay.
He's not married. I don't know if he's with this woman.
Does he have kids?
I have no idea. I don't know
anything about Shannon Sharp.
50s.
The guy is getting to be as famous as a sports personality as there is. I know nothing about him.
I don't know. He looks like he's in better shape than he was when he was playing for the Broncos.
100%.
So, yeah, you got that going on. You also finished with the Ravens. Mm-hmm. What the hell else were we going to... Oh, yeah, you wanted to get into the Super Bowl and the Manning cast. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
go ahead.
So they came out yesterday with some news that... And I didn't know what the contract was for the Mannings and Omaha Productions with ESPN. But I think... ESPN has the Super Bowl in either 2026 or 2027, and they have said that the Manning cast will absolutely take place during the Super Bowl. And so you can imagine the guests. The guests are going to be all-timers for that. And I can guarantee you today, as we are speaking, I will watch none of the Manning cast. It would not matter who the guests are. It wouldn't matter. It would not matter. There are no guests that could get me off the traditional broadcast.
Not for the Super Bowl.
So,
I wanted to
explore that. Why is it that I think that way when people do get excited about the Manning cast? I don't need
the Super Bowl is different. The Super Bowl is different. I am not when Andy Reid gave his play to Peter King. Like, that was very interesting. But I am not sitting there during a Super Bowl. Because I'm not a big fan of the Super Bowl game itself, just because my team is never in it. And I've told you about that before. But I don't find myself watching the Super Bowl critically.
Mm.
And you think I would. I'm not seeing it the way I would watch a critical Browns game or a critical NFC championship game. There's so many distractions going on. The commercials, the people around you, food, whatever it might be, there are so many different things going on during the Super Bowl that I don't find myself watching it very critically. There's things that stand out because usually it's the best of the best they have, and the analysis points things out. But like, I take notes during games. I can't take notes during a Super Bowl. We've had people over.
If somehow the Browns were in the Super Bowl, I think that would change, because I felt the same way. But I've had to really be locked into the game the last couple. Four out of the last 6 years. But how would I
watch a Browns Super Bowl?
I do think it would change your opinion of that. You got to DVR the Manning cast, though, and watch that.
Okay,
right?
Here's the thing. If the Browns were in the Super Bowl, yes, I would DVR it. If the Browns lost the Super Bowl, I would not watch it.
Right.
I would never watch it.
I will tell you, I have had the same DVR for 6 years, and I don't get rid of it because I have the Super Bowl on the DVR. And they have contacted me about getting rid of my cable box.
You can't get rid of
it. It's out of date.
Would you be that upset?
Amazing.
Would you be that upset if the Browns lost the Super Bowl just because they were just in the Super Bowl? Like, would you be happy that they were just in it?
Oh.
Could you be that upset, worked up, mad, punching walls, or in despair?
No. I mean, it would suck to lose on a chip shot field goal that you worked a perfect drive, a virtuoso drive to milk the clock.
Say you lost 24-17 and that was it.
Oh.
24-16.
Yeah, I mean, let me ask you this. Are the Browns, were they all season and before the season, were they the team that everybody picked to go to the Super Bowl? Did they make the big free agent signings? Everyone's like, oh, it's the Browns. Browns clearly are going to the Super Bowl this year. Or is it like right now, 17th best odds going into the year to make it to the Super Bowl or to win the Super Bowl? No one's really picking you to win the division. Because that, getting to the Super Bowl, and if Deshaun Watson has a great year, then I think you can keep your head held up high. And I think you can enjoy that season and then say, hopefully we can get back. A lot of teams don't. A lot of teams lose in that Super Bowl and never get back.
I was just asking you. I know that's beside the point. But the Manning cast during a Super Bowl, I don't know if it would garner the type of attention that they would want it, because it's such a general thing. It's just such a general...
And I want to consume it like everybody else is consuming it. I don't want to consume it like a fringe element of the...
And I think the Manning cast is more for fringe element people.
Well, I think that would be the absolute thing, because now ESPN can say over the family of networks, we drew this number, right? And I would assume that they're going to take the Manning cast as people who are not caring about the game.
Well,
right?
I could tell you, Ohio State, when they were in the national championship in 2014, I think they had a local cast.
Yes.
And when they went again and lost to Alabama, and they had all the guys out on COVID, and not an excuse, they would have lost anyway. That team was pretty special, that Alabama team. I did not watch the Ohio State hometown broadcast of that either. I don't have a lot of interest in that. I kind of want to be in feeling the way that everybody else is, and the way that the camera angles are different, and they go to coaches who are sitting there talking when they're on these alternative casts. You know, even you'd say, well, you're just not as big of a football fan, or you don't know the X's and O's of the game. You know, basketball, I understand all the X's and O's of basketball. I wouldn't want it for that either. I'd want to just watch it the traditional way. And I don't want to be inundated with more information than I'm already getting from either Chris Collinsworth or who are the color analysts who do these games, Tony Romo. I think that surface level analysis is good enough for me. At my level of understanding football, they are really good, like Chris Collinsworth, of giving you one reason a play succeeded or failed. Is that the same reason Kevin Stefanski would give you? No. He would be like, look at the timing. This guy's in motion at the wrong time. They took the snap at the wrong time. He's not putting that linebacker in conflict the way he's supposed to be. And then blah, 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 blah. I don't want that during the game because I'm on to the next play. I can't be inundated that way. I'm not a football coach. You guys would understand that
stuff better. That is something that I think the last, and I haven't watched a coach's cast or anything like that. I haven't watched the Manning cast in a long time either. That's something that I think kind of held it back a little bit, is that, you know, they stop and rewind and like you're missing plays. People are kind of in the moment.
Ooh,
so this would be good tomorrow. This would be good to sit down tomorrow on a Tuesday after the national championship game. When what goes on a Tuesday after a national championship game? I don't know.
Not a damn thing.
NBA games?
Yeah.
I mean, that's about it. So Tuesday after a national championship game, if you want to sit down with Urban Meyer and Nick Saban, and they're on conflicting networks now, but you get what I'm saying. You wanted to sit down with Nick Saban and go, all right, this is how Ohio State won the championship, and go over that and have like a coach's roundtable on ESPN. Knock yourself out. You go right on ahead. But I think in real time, you want to see it unfold. I mean, that's what you have a color analyst there, because they're there to tell you quickly while the game is unfolding in front of them. So that's kind of how that goes. I mean, everything else, when they're going over, I'm like, why? You know, this is a rewatch. This isn't meant to be in real time. That's always what's kind of got me, because I can watch that at any time. I could sit there and listen to coaches, big name coaches, very successful coaches, talk football for a long time. I'll tell you, but I can do that at any time, because on the way in, I listened to Thomas Hammack have his interview with Urban Meyer on that new podcast. That the guy Chris Turlop's producing with Mark Ingram and Urban, and Thomas Hammack from NIU, because I'll just listen to coaches talk and to hear what they talk about, how they get ready. I just find it fascinating. Urban got into a story about how when he was at BG, they went to Mizzou, and they were playing Brad Smith, and he was like, listen, you can't sit there and just lie to your kids and tell them that you're going to beat Mizzou, but what you can tell them, and you find a way to you eat the elephant one bite at a time. And it's like, if we can get 4 yards, and he's like, I drew up 4 yards up on the board. I'm like, if you get 4 yards, and then on defense, and he got into some of the concepts he did defensively, then we might be able to find ourselves at a point later on in the game where we can win. And basically, this is before they even talked to Thomas Hammack, and Thomas Hammack basically said the same thing. Is like, yeah, we had to do this, this, and this to eliminate that, and we were looking for a shot at the end of the game. Huh. We were looking to get our work in, play our brand of football, get our shot at the end of the game. And you remember, like, they went for it on fourth down.
Yes. Oh, it was awesome.
They could have kicked the field goal much earlier and then given them 90 seconds to go down the field. If they give them 90 seconds, I think it's 17-14 Notre Dame wins, that. Or 17-16 Notre Dame wins, we're just talking about Notre Dame escaping. That took stones.
And it didn't look like it was a guarantee he'd get that first down right away.
Yeah, but you know what? To win those games, you kind of got to have them, because it's like, hey, if you lose this game, you played tough with Notre Dame. If you win this game, it's an all-timer. And it's an all-timer. And it was just so – it's so refreshing to hear them. But I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do that after this game. You know, if they wanted to do a coach's roundtable after every Browns game and you had – like if Eric Mangini came out of hiding and decided to do it, I'm in. Count me in. Boy, that'd be some great programming for us. But if you just wanted to have him on during the game, well, I kind of got other guys on. So I can kind of get the story from them. That's kind of how I feel about it. I agree with you about the Manning cast. Plus, there's everything else. Am I hearing the Mannings and whatever guests they have react to the commercials?
Right. Are they going to have Charles?
Are they going to react about them negatively?
Charles Barkley. Are they going to have Shannon Sharp? Are they going to be doing all that? Like, you know, I kind of want to watch the game the way it's intended.
And anything good... because of the media that we live in, anything good will be recorded and played the next day.
You'll see the best parts.
Yeah, so I'll get the highlights. I'd rather watch the game and see the game. I know you got something about Kendrick Lamar and the Super Bowl show. Well, that's for tomorrow. I want to do that on the air, on the actual show. I want to call him Canton Church. Cleveland Charge tryouts. Where did you see this?
Well, I saw it. It was a local news story I think we had on 19.
Everybody's got it now.
Yeah, everybody's got it now. So
I'm on the Cleveland Charge website.
Oh, yeah. Right, so do they have any restrictions on the tryouts? Who can show?
Your BMI can't be 35.
There are showers and there are growers. Right. There is a registration fee that you must pay.
Okay, because that's to weed out the clowns.
How much is the fee?
Well, let's play Guess That Fee.
$100.
Oh, I was going to say $35.
You're both under.
What?
$200.
It's $200.
Because right, if you're going to do it, they want you to take it seriously.
They want you to take it seriously. And maybe someone like, I almost said his name, an influencer in town might just go do it just to film it.
What are they giving the money to? Are they keeping the money or are they donating?
They're giving that to the head coach of the Cleveland Church. No, I don't know. It doesn't say.
Maybe they are. They could be. I mean, it's got to be worth their time.
All right, so... the first thing is
you also have to fill out a bunch of paperwork as well.
Well, yeah, you drop dead on the court,
medical consents and all that stuff, right?
So my first thought is this is awesome. I love when colleges do this. And back in the day, you know, I bet you if you looked at the Cleveland Browns in the 1960s, open tryouts, right?
Oh, yeah,
that used to be a staple, and there's all sorts of success stories. And I kind of wish they had something like this now. I mean, they've had times. Who was it? We had a guy that tried to come on.
Polly.
Who was that?
That was the Eagles.
Okay, well, we had a player that was camped out with signage in front of Berea. And they were nice to him.
That's happened a couple of times.
Well, they had the guy that lied. He returned a kickoff in a preseason game. He lied about being invited by Dorsey, I believe, to the training camp.
Good.
And he had been living at Planet Fitness or right outside in Florida.
Yeah.
It was a two-name last name. I have to look it up.
So why not? I mean, I know the coaches have enough to do, and the scouts and everybody within the organization, they don't have enough hours in the day to have open tryouts and give guys, they'd have to vet them all, make sure what are their backgrounds. We can't just put anybody on the Cleveland route. So I understand that. With all that said, I was thinking because it's basketball, but it transcends. It's every sport. I had St. Francis last week, their head coach played in the NFL, and he was telling us before the game on the field, offensive lineman Chris Villarreal, and he played a long time in the NFL, Buffalo Bills, Chicago Bears.
Yep.
He told us that, I'm not kidding, he goes, every player that comes out on our team, they think they can play in the NFL. And he said, here's your opportunity. You're playing a MAC team. Like, that's, think about the levels, right? Like, that's what the MAC coaches say when they go play Ohio State.
Yeah.
This is St. Francis in Pennsylvania, an FCS team in the Northeast League, going to Kent State.
Yeah.
Who's unfortunately one of the worst teams in the MAC this year. And he's like, you guys think you could play in the NFL? Here you go. And it turns out they go out and win. They're 18-point dogs, and they went and beat Kent State. Well, in basketball, I know a lot of basketball coaches in high school, and I know a lot of basketball coaches in college at various levels. And the one thing they all think is that they all can play Division I basketball, and a lot of them think if things align right, they can play in the NBA. And it's ridiculous. The NBA is such a fraction of the amount of guys that play basketball.
Any other sport.
That think they can make it at that level. It's just astronomically low, that opportunity to do it. So I think Cleveland Charge should open up this, because this is not the NBA. What percentage of the players in what league is that? What do they call it?
G
League. What percentage of guys in a G League could actually get a one season, a full contract in the NBA? Is it
low?
3%?
They'll
get two-way deals because of the new way they have the contracts up.
You are on the roster now?
Yeah.
Man, it's
minuscule.
I don't think it's 3%.
So every high school coach that thinks every high school parent who thinks their kid can play in the NBA, you should be able to go watch the tryouts for the Charge. This is not the Charge. This is not the real team. These are the guys that are trying out to sit the bench in the G League.
Yeah.
Go to that and see how athletic those guys are and see how they're grown men.
Oh my God.
To understand where your body needs to be eventually, even if you're 16, 17 years old, to know a lot of guys trying out will be in their 20s, okay?
Yes.
If you went and saw that, I think you'd have a different idea about your chances and really it's not the kids, it's the parents, right? Aren't the parents the bigger issue there? Like, kids, it's good to have dreams. You should want to play in the NBA. But for the parents, you should know whether or not your kid has a legitimate shot to get to the NBA. And if you go to
I don't think it's going to ground them anymore. I've lost faith about that. I still think they're going to get... Nobody recognizes in the heat of the moment their kid's not going to the NFL or NBA or Major League Baseball. They never realize it in the heat of the moment. And I will admit, as we've gotten further and further into it, it gets a little bit harder to be grounded, because then you get with teams that get competitive, winning is fun.
Yep.
But then you ultimately forget, like, hey, these are, you know, third and fourth graders. And then we just, you know, end up at a game at a local high school on a Saturday morning, scouting teams we're going to play in third and fourth grade. And, you know, we're here to win football games, guys. We're not here to do algebra homework.